Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read three verses in this chapter, verses 13 through 15. And a little bit earlier in this chapter, the Lord is speaking to Moses through the burning bush. And he's giving Moses his calling, and he's calling Moses to go out and go to Egypt and do the impossible, right? How many of us know about the impossible right now, right? So he's calling Moses to go out and do the impossible and go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to release the Israelites. And God is speaking to Moses. And in verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And then we move forward to verse 14. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent unto you, hath sent me unto you." And verse 15 says, "And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Lord, we come before you, raising our hands, Lord God, and praising you for what you've already done. I pray, Jesus, that your will be done in this place, Lord God. Open our hearts, Lord God. Let us be in one mind and one accord, Jesus. Open our minds to receive your word. If it's not for you, Lord God, we will not be able to move forward, Jesus. Let your will be done in this place. And prepare our minds to receive the word that you have in this place. We thank you, Lord, and we worship your name. Church, you may be seated. Brother George, thank you so much. As I was reading into these verses, there was a couple of things that stood out to me a little bit. And going back to verse 13, it's what stood out to me is you know, as Moses is speaking to the burning bush and God is speaking to Moses, you know, one thing happens immediately, and Moses objects his own identity. And he's objecting himself, and already he's lacking faith, and he's saying that he's not worthy. But there's a second thing that happens in verse 13, but he refers to God's identity. He refers to the identity of God. He asks and he says, "What is his name?" That stood out to me. The second thing that stood out to me was in verse 14. And it's the way that God just responds in five simple little words. Only five. And God says to Moses, "I am that I am." Five simple words, five little words, two of which repeat themselves. "I am that I am." And that stood out to me. And one of the third things that stood out to me was in verse 15. And God says to Moses that he is the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then the last thing that stands out to me is at the end of that verse, he says, "This is my name." He says to Moses, "This is my name." And as I was, you know, preparing for this, and God had kind of put this in my heart, and it was kind of weird the way that this happened. I was at work one day. We're finishing up, and we're kind of just waiting for the other shift to come in and all that stuff. My reports are typed and turned in. Had a little bit of time to kill, so I got on my social media, start scrolling through my social media and all of that stuff. And oddly enough, you know, a Disney song came onto my social media, and that was weird for me because I'm a blaspheme for the church, okay? I'm not that big of a Disney fan. I'm sorry. Pastor, I apologize. I'm glad Annabeth and Mom aren't in here to hear that, okay? But this song came on and it started playing, and in a song that was written and created for children, that in itself spoke to me. And I heard God speaking to me and saying, "Remember me, remember who I am, remember my name." Now that song refers to a Disney film by the name of Coco. Now, in this film, there's a small child, and he goes out, and he loves music, and his family disagrees with all of that stuff, and he goes, and he finds a picture, and in this picture, he finds the head of a guitar that catches his attention, and he's like, "Oh, I've seen that guitar somewhere, but I don't know where." So he goes and he looks around and he finds out, oh, this is the guitar of my favorite singer. And he goes to the cemetery. And this is around the time of a celebration in the Hispanic culture called Día de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. Now, in this culture holiday, I should say, they go out and they put pictures of these family members that have since passed and are no longer with them. They put families and murals up for them, and they light candles and they do vigils. But not only that, but they also go out to the cemeteries and they go to their burial place and they lay out food and water and drinks and all of that kind of stuff, their favorite food, their favorite drinks, because they're of the belief that during this time, during this celebration, this family member that's no longer here is going to come back from the spiritual realm and is going to come back to the natural, and they're going to celebrate and they're going to eat this stuff. Now, this young man in this film, he goes and he's strumming of a guitar, and as Disney does, it's a strum of a guitar, and it's magical, and he's in the spiritual realm. So he goes out, and he runs into this man, and they go on this huge adventure, and they raise all kind of havoc and do all this stuff, and he grows fond of this man. And all this man wants is, because he's trying to cross back over to the natural and he's trying to spend some time with his family, but he can't because his family does not remember him. And the title of my sermon is simple as that: Remember Me. So we move forward a little bit in the film, and they've already raised all kind of Cain, raised all kind of havoc, and they've done all of this and all of that, and come to find out that this man that he's been running around with and raising Cain with is his great-grandfather, and all of this stuff happens and whatnot, and they come towards the end of the movie and or the film. I apologize, we're UPCI, we don't watch movies. That's a joke. That's what I get for trying to be serious. Comes to the end of the film, and this man that turns out to be this child's great grandfather plays a song for this boy, and he says, "This is a song that I used to play for my daughter." A song as simple as this. And the name of the song is Remember Me. And the lyrics read like this: Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me. Don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me, though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember me. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment as I heard that song, and I heard the Lord saying, Joe, remember me. Remember me, remember my name, remember the power in my name, remember what I have done for you. Although I am physically not standing next to you, my spirit is with you because I am omnipotent. I am the God of God. I am the God of all creation, and I walk with you. Remember me for what I have done. Remember me when I died on that cross. Remember me for everything that I am. The Lord said, remember me. And I broke down. And at this point, I had gone home from work already. And I was thinking, my God, my God. And I'm trying to remember God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've forgotten your name. I'm sorry that I've forgotten who you are. I'm sorry that I've failed you and forgotten the power in your name. At night after night, I go home and I pray, God, fulfill the miracles. Night after night, I go home and I pray, God, fulfill the promises. And church, night after night, we go home, especially now when we raise these cards and we say, God, fulfill the needs. God, fulfill the promises. God, complete the miracles. And there's nothing wrong with that, church, but God is saying, don't forget my name. Don't forget who I am. And Stephen, even though you're praying those prayers, and those prayers are shaking heaven, and Pastor, those prayers are shaking heaven, there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, pray the prayers, but God is the one that fulfills that miracle. It is no man, it is no person, it is no human. There is nothing else on this earth that will fulfill these miracles except for the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to get a little bit more serious right now. And I apologize for any children that didn't hear. This is going to get a little bit, I don't want to say gory, but we're going to talk a little bit about the pain that Jesus felt when he got crucified. So I turned to Matthew, and I started reading chapter 27. And at this point, this is already when you know, Jesus has already been betrayed by Judas, and he's gone before Caiaphas, and he's gone before Pilate, and Pilate has already washed his hands and said, you know what? The blood of this innocent man is not on me. The blood of this man is on you. And we go on to verse 27, and it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into a common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. Now, why a scarlet robe? See, Jesus was saying, I am Jesus, King of the Jews. So they were doing this to mock Jesus. So they put on this scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. Verse 30 says, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him in the head, or smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him, and they put him in his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And I began to think on this, and I began to think on the pain that Jesus felt in this moment. See, what we often talk about this, and we say, okay, yeah, you know what, God, Jesus was crucified, and he was whipped, and he had a crown of thorns. But why don't we think on that for a second? How many of y'all have been, you know, walking through a briar bush, and you get a thorn stuck in your finger or in your leg or something like that? That hurts. Imagine a crown of them just on your head. And if that's not enough, they've already whipped you over and over and over again. And on the end of this whip, there's nails and there's glass and there's all kind of debris that is ripping and tearing at your skin. And when it gets stuck, these soldiers were not nice. They didn't just leave it stuck in there and gently pull it out. No, they ripped it out of my God's back. And then if that wasn't enough, they continued to whip him time and time and time again. And then they put this robe on his back, on his tattered and torn back. They put this robe and they mock him and they tease him and they continue to beat him. And then they rip it all off of him. Now that robe, I can only imagine, got caught on the dry blood of my God's back, and it only ripped even more. And then they mocked him some more and spit in his face. And then all of that already was not enough. They tell him, go ahead and bear this cross. Put this cross on your back and carry it in front of this multitude that is screaming at you, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Now, this cross is made of wood. It's not padded. It doesn't have a nice little cushion like the seats that we have. This cross is on his back, and he's already torn up, and he's already worn out, and he's exhausted, and his back is torn to shreds, and his head is bleeding, and his back is bleeding. And this cross, I'm sure they didn't take the time to sit here and sand it. So it's rugged, it's rough, and these splinters and these shards of wood are digging into his shoulders and digging into his back. And all of this pain, my God is feeling. Because not only was he God, but he was also man. And he carries this cross up to a hill named Golgotha. And on the way, that cross and that burden becomes too much to bear, and he drops to the ground. So the Roman soldiers grab another man, and they force him to carry this cross with Jesus, and he goes up, and they crucify my Jesus. They throw that cross on the ground, and they grab nails, and they put his hands on that cross, and then they start to hammer those nails into his hands. It's over and over and over again. As if the pain he's already felt wasn't enough, now they hammer my God onto that cross. And he hangs there, and they crucify my God. Now, why do I say all of this? Why do I want you to imagine this in your head? Because that is the love my God has for you. That is the love the Lord has for each and every one of you in this place. And I want to remember who my God is. I never want to forget what he did for me. I never want to forget the burden that he carried thousands of years ago before I was ever thought of. The burden that he bared, the pain that he felt for me, for you, and every single lost soul that is out there in the world that is hungry and passionate. My God died for them long before, for every single sin of the world. He knew your name. He knew what he was doing, and he knew that dying on that cross for your sins was all we needed for grace. And then I go in and I think, oh my God, I never want to forget what you've done. Lord, I never want to forget the power in your name. And while I'm praying for these miracles, God, and our church are praying for these miracles, and our pastor's praying for this revival, and our church is praying for lost souls, and we're going out and we're trying to reach these lost souls, I never want to forget the power in the name of Jesus, because my God is more than enough. My God is King of Kings. My God is Lord of Lords. My God is Yahweh, strictly meaning the name Lord. My name, my God's name is Adonai, a filler word for Yahweh. My God's name is Elohim, creator, mighty and strong. My God's name is El Shaddai, God Almighty. My God's name is Eloah, God mighty, strong and prominent. My God's name is Jehovah Jireh, Lord will provide. My God's name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. My God's name is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. My God's name is God Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies and made holy. My God's name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of my peace. My God's name is Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. My God's name is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. My God's name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. My God's name is Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. And the Lord's name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. I never want to forget who my God is. I never want to forget the power in the name of Jesus. When I'm praying, when I'm fasting, when these miracles are happening, I never want to forget the power in the name of Jesus. George, you can go ahead and come. I never want to forget what he has done for me. I never want to forget the name of Jesus. I never want to forget the miracles and the promises he has already accomplished. I never want to forget where he brought me from. I never want to forget the pain and the hole in the pit that I was in. Oh, because it is my testimony. I never want to forget where he brought me from. I never want to forget where he brought Jeremy from. I never want to forget where he brought my dad from. I never want to forget where he brought Pastor from. I never want to forget where he brought Dusty from. I don't want to forget where he brought JT from. I don't want to forget where he brought Dust or Nathaniel from. That is my God, a God of miracles, a God that heals, a God that fulfills, a God that completes a miracle in the name of Jesus. Church, my message is as simple as that. Remember the name of Jesus. Remember the name. Remember the name. Church, you can stand and these altars are open and you can come. It's really just that simple. And if you were here for Sunday school, you know that Pastor spoke along this thing too. And I promise you, we didn't compare notes. Last week, Mom came up to me and said, "Hey, Joe, what are you preaching about? What do you need?" And I said, "Hey, simple as this, remember me." The pastor wasn't back there, but he just overheard it and he ran to his office and he said, "Bro, check this out." He said, "I don't often do this, but check this out." And he showed me just a quick glimpse of the title of his Sunday school message. And I feel like God is telling us and calling his church and he's saying, "Don't forget who I am. Don't forget the name behind the miracle. Don't forget the name behind the blessing. Don't forget the name behind who we are." As simple as that, church. And why don't we come forward and we cry out and we reach out for God. Lord, I never want to forget who you are.